We celebrate today the memory of a very famous mystic poet named John of the Cross. Saint John of the Cross, San Juan de la Cruz, closely identified with Teresa of Avila, and as I said in the introduction, like Teresa, John vowed himself to the very primitive rule of the Carmelite congregation. John was born in Avila, Spain in 1542. He joined the Carmelite in 1563 when he was 21 years old. He was a close collaborator of Teresa of Avila in introducing reforms in the congregation. He was ordained a priest at the age of 25 in 1567, and John met Teresa, who became her closest associate. John and Teresa engaged in the work of reform and came to experience the price of reform in the congregation. There was an increasing opposition to both of them, misunderstanding from their associates, persecution, and even imprisonment. My dear brothers and sisters, John of the Cross is a saint because his life is a heroic effort to live up to his name of the cross. Our Lord said, "If anyone wishes to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." And John came to know the cross, and he fell in love with the cross. There are many mystics and many poets, but John is unique as a mystic poet, expressing while he was in prison the ecstasy of his mystical union with God. And as agony leads to ecstasy, so John of the Cross experienced his spiritual ascent to Mount Carmel. And John of the Cross always believed that if you want to save your life, you must lose it. That is why he deserves the name John of the Cross. My dear brothers and sisters, the gospel reading for today perfectly captures the life and the mystery and the vocation of John of the Cross. The gospel reading for today is known as the parable of the tower builder, as well as the parable of the king going to war. Let me say a few words about these two parables that are actually connected to the cost of discipleship, to the price of discipleship. Discipleship is not a soft sell. We have to go with Jesus the whole way. We have to accept the Lord totally and entirely and completely, looking at his life and then putting the life of the Lord in practice in our own life. What does the two parables today tell us? My dear brothers and sisters, following Jesus and becoming his disciple is not at all easy. Our Lord uses two parables to teach an important lesson to restrain those who wish to follow him. Our Lord exploits the occasion to teach a lesson on discipleship. He narrates two parables, the parable of the tower builder and the parable going to war, to send a very strong message with respect to the price of discipleship. If we will have to analyze and if we will have to summarize the two parables, we can summarize it in one simple sentence. Before following the Lord, count the cost. Count the cost. Know the requirements. Know the demands of discipleship. Know the expectations. Know the implications of following the Lord. My dear friends, a half-hearted disciple is like the half-hearted or half-finished tower. A half-hearted disciple is like the half-finished tower. Jesus doesn't like half-recruits. Jesus doesn't like half-hearted disciples. Jesus doesn't like that the disciples live a double life. A double life torn between two lovers. For example, one half seminarian and one half with a girlfriend. One half seminarian, one half with a girlfriend. Isang paa nasa seminaryo, ang isang paa uwi ng uwi sa bahay. Ang iba nga, ang dalawang paa halos nasa kanilang bahay na. That cannot be. Discipleship is no soft sell. We have to go with the Lord the whole way. We have to accept the Lord totally and entirely and completely, His way of looking at life, and then putting that into practice by the way we live. In other words, there cannot be a kind of wishy-washy compromise, trying to have our cake and eat it too. My dear friends, there is a paradox, the paradox of hating and loving in the gospel today. The paradox of hating and loving is a Semitic way of saying love less. And the use of extreme terms like love and hate is part of the manner of expression of the place and time. What does the Lord want to convey? That in our list of goals and priorities, God should be first on the list. God should be number one on the list. Everybody and everything else comes next. To love God more means to love others less, but we have to love others nonetheless. This is how we Christianize our lives. In other words, the gospel today has a simple but difficult message. Following the Lord must be our top priority. Our top priority over anything and anybody, including our strongest relationships. Including our strongest relationships. Jesus must be at the center of our lives. God must be on top of our priorities. My dear friends, finally, in following the Lord, there are no half measures. There is no middle ground. Probably I should again remind our seminarians, they are about to go home for their Christmas vacation. I remember and I will not forget one very important reminder from our novice master before we embark on our Christmas vacation. Father Alberto, may God rest his soul, told us, and let me tell this to the seminarians, there is no vacation in the spiritual life. No vacation in the spiritual life. In other words, you have to go to Mass every day. You have to pray morning prayers every day. You have to pray evening prayers every day. And if possible, meditate every day. No vacation in spiritual life. Loving the Lord must be total. Loving the Lord must be entire. Put God first in our life, because God is the only absolute value. Everything else is relative. Everything else is temporary. Everything else is secondary.